Chicago. Did you not get the memo? Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy, Buzz, and as always, I am joined by my dude, Bulls Scripted, a.k.a. Keith Frantz, and we are here as to the Indiana Pacers here in preseason Game 3. A lot of good things we saw tonight, a lot of not-so-good things we saw tonight. Keith, what'd you think, my man?
It would probably be an exaggeration. There was some select things to take away from the game, and I'd say that was pretty much Coby White's three-point shooting, the confidence in which he showed to continue to take them. It does look like he's going to play more of, you know, a two-guard role beginning of the season until the playmaking comes along. But I think like tonight you were really only watching for Coby White, Dunn fan. So to see him go off for, you know, 24 points was pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I agree with that. A thing that I saw to Coby White today was just his off-the-ball effectiveness, especially on offense, not needing the ball to contribute, and I was really happy to see that. Chris Dunn, you know, primarily had the ball in his hands coming up the floor, but, you know, when they were able to find Coby White, he made good use of it. He went 4 from 9 from three-point land, 10 of 22 overall from the field for 24 points, 8 boards, and zero assists. Something that we saw a lot of tonight was not great ball movement. The Bulls had 24 assists in the first half, last preseason game. And this preseason game, for the whole game, they only finished with 14. Ball movement wasn't so great tonight in general, but, I mean, like you said before we came on the air, we kind of expected that. Was there anything else that you saw out of today's game that as a little bit of a bright spot you want to touch on?
Let's say Chris Dunn, 6 steals, but he had 7 turnovers as well, so that kind of throws that out the window.
Yikes.
I mean, a lot of them were, you know, dumb turnovers. I guess all turnovers are dumb, but, you know, the backcourt violation, that was, yeah.
That was brutal.
Definitely hard to watch. But, no, I mean, I think the last game where the starters actually played was a lot more entertaining. There's a lot of positive things to take away from that game other than the players who kind of stunk it up tonight, blowing it in the fourth quarter for us. So, you know, I'll lead it in with that. What did you think about the game on Wednesday?
Well, the game on Wednesday, I mean, was the pace that the offense played with to start the game, right? That was, I was immediately drawn in. The ball movement was unbelievable, number one. Number two, the eventual starters that I think that we'll see going forward to start the regular season, they played phenomenal as well. Zach was on another level. Otto Porter Jr. did all the things that you know that he can do and that he kind of showed us what he had last year. Tomas Satoransky played. His numbers might not have been flashy, but he played well. Wednesday's game was just unbelievable until, you know, the huge collapse there in the fourth quarter. But that was mostly because the deep, deep end of the bench guys were.
The soon-to-be streetwalkers were on the court.
Right, the soon-to-be street. It reminds me of South Park with the Daywalker thing. The streetwalkers, yeah, blew the game there. But I think we saw everything that we needed to see out of, you know, of the potential of this offense.
That game was definitely Wednesday's played game. In three quarters. That was really all that mattered to me, at least as a fan, was when we had our actual rotational players out on the floor that you could see the ball movement, the pace. And really just sticking to the plan that has been, you know, laid out, which is good to see because the Bulls aren't always great at doing that. And you mentioned Otto Porter Jr., who flirted with a triple-double on Wednesday. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 7 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. So we know he can even do, you know, better than that. And that was, you know, just kind of a nonchalant game for him. I'm really excited for, you know, the rotational pieces that we have, especially the starting five, which I think a telltale sign tonight with Satoransky sitting out is that he is going to be the starter initially. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you had that called, before the first preseason game was played. I like Sato's game. I mean, he showed out and we balled up. And we had talked about this in one of the previous Bulls on Taps, but in the FIBA World Cup, I mean, he balled out. Coming over to the Bulls, you know, to start the preseason off, he's been very shifty in the, limited amount of games that we've got to see him in. But very shifty, fits with the offense real well. But, I mean, honestly, I think it's just a matter of time before you see the seventh pick in this year's draft take that spot from him.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's far-fetched. You can make the argument that having the veteran in Satoransky, who is more consuming off the bench, might even be better for the team. But at the same time, you know the Bulls are going to make Kobe earn it as well as they should. So,
oh, absolutely, right.
I don't know. I hope it comes at some point of the season. With Kobe's speed, there's no way that they can keep him off the floor. And there is going to be, you know, a lot of growing pains. But at the same time, what he brings to the table in terms of a game changer with his speed and transition, with that being the way that the Bulls want to play, is very possible that, you know, he's a starter by the end of the season because he's great off ball as well, which we all know Zach's going to have the ball a lot.
Right, and absolutely. I mean, it's just a good thing to have a guy like Satoransky and obviously have Kobe White on the team, because Satoransky's going to fit real good also in that starting lineup, like you were saying before, to make Kobe earn it. But for now, Sato has earned it, and his ability to play off ball, his size, his length to bother people on the defensive end, just to be there in the corner to hit the three when needed is going to be very, very big for this team. Another guy I want to touch on real quick, because he absolutely played terrible Wednesday. He played horrible tonight, too. But are we done yet? I know we have one more game in the preseason, but are we done with Felicio here? Completely just done. Are you done? I'm done. I can't watch him play basketball anymore, Keith. I can't. He drives me up a wall and frustrates me to where I think he's now taking years off my life.
I mean, I've been done with Felicio since before he was re-signed. So I was never on the Felicio train. I'm sorry for those of you who were. I know there's a lot of evidence out there of some of you still denying it. But, you're not going to have to see him.
I love the subtle shots thrown.
But, you know, it is disappointing that he has to ultimately make the roster because buying him out might not be as beneficial as, you know, going into the offseason with his $8 million contract, the trade for maybe somebody with a slightly overpriced contract. I don't know. There is value in just the contract itself, as oddly as that, you know, comes off. But from a cap sense, even trading for a team that needs cap relief of a bigger expiring contract this year that kind of wants to just split it in two, maybe we can get away with something like that and pick up a veteran. But unfortunately, it's not as easy as just telling Felicio, like, hey, we don't need you anymore.
Well, right, and I had gotten into a conversation with a guy on Twitter earlier, and he was telling me, well, they're just going to put him in the G League. I'm like, well, they can't just do that. And that's a problem. And I know you're aware of this already, but he needs to give the team permission to go down to the G League now at this point in time. He can't just go down to the G League anymore. And it's just a thorn in the Bulls' side. And a backfire.
Really, it's just a weight at the end of the bench. Like, you just got to hope. I mean, we have solid big man depth with Lowry, Thad, who's going to play in all the small ball lineups, you know, Wendell Carter Jr., who can play both spots if you need him, Gafford, Cornette. So we should never get down to Felicio at the end of the bench. He should just be an anchor there all season.
I sure the hell hope not.
And at that point, he's probably going to want to go down to the G League just to stay fresh kind of thing. So he probably will spend the majority of his season down there because he'll actually get played there and stay in somewhat shape in case there is a spot where they need him, which hopefully never happens again in the last 2 years of his contract here. But No, I mean, it would be nice if the Bulls could convince Felicio to, like, take a buyout, but I don't think that he'd give up any money. Why would you? You get to be the worst player in the NBA and make $8 million a year.
It's unbelievable to me. I tell you what, it really is. But let's talk about one of his replacements, like we were saying before. Luke Kornet, I mean, what do you think about him? I like his game, man. I know that he didn't have, like, the sexiest stat line, and I went 2 for 7, 2 boards, 6 points. But he had a couple really nice shots that found the bottom of the bucket tonight. And then even on Wednesday's game, you know, when the Bulls had that huge lead and we were getting some time out of Kornet, he played real well, too. He had 9 points and went 4 for 7 from the field and had 4 assists. So another big man with good passing ability. So what do you think about Kornet going into the season here?
I will admit I was really skeptical of the Kornet signing in the offseason. You know, we had watched him torch us a little bit when he was with the Knicks last year towards the end of the season when the Bulls were riding their G League unit. It's kind of like a game we watched tonight. But, you know, I wasn't all that excited about the signing, but I think he showed in these last two games that he is going to be a piece that is effective when you have the starting caliber players on our team around him, because he is a floor spacer. He is a good screener. We even saw him catch some lobs. His rebounding seems to be above average. So we are going to need that kind of presence, and just the fact that you can have your five be a spacer, but also be that size. When you have him and Lowry on the floor together, you know, there's going to be a clear lane to the hole because big man's going to be out on the perimeter. So I think it is going to turn out to be a very underrated signing.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I love the versatility that he brings to the five position, even playing four as well. Like, you know, I can't wait to see him and Lowry out there in situations and stuff like that. A guy that obviously I want to get into, he didn't play tonight, which is, obviously Friday night for anybody listening to this right now. But Zach LaVine on Wednesday was just, dude, unbelievable yet again. Had 28 points in 24 minutes, 10 for 16 from the field, 4 for 7 behind the three-point line. Zach is poised to make that jump. We've talked about it before. I just think the confidence is there. And him in the starting lineup, we just kind of touched on before, with Tomas Satoransky, was fantastic. It was just like a new style, letting Zach, you know, seeing him create and him knowing that he's got people around him that can be snipers after he drives in the lane or if someone else creates for him. Zach was just standing there hitting, you know, open threes. I mean, the three-point shot looks like it's going to be, I think he's a plus 35% from the three-point line this year. Man, I'm going to call like 38% from downtown. I don't know how you feel, but that's what I'm calling for him this year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him break 40. I think something that's going to be, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot throughout the season, but it might go under the radar for some, is having this depth and the veteranship and just the reliability of the cast that Zach is actually going to have this year, assuming we stay healthy. He's going to be able to stay fresh. He's not going to get his gassed. He should be able to play more consistent team defense because he won't be carrying so much of a load on offense. And he'll be able to be more explosive to the hole because he'll be more fresh. As where last year, you know, to start the season with Zach's 30-point streak, you just saw him where he had to carry the team. He didn't have anybody else with all the injuries and the lack of depth. So I think that's going to be a really big factor for Zach, is not only is he going to take a step, but it's going to be easier for him because he has the help now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I saw a little clip from, I think it was maybe ESPN Magazine. It was up on Twitter saying that, you know, how Zach doesn't doubt that he's going to, you know, there's no reason that he shouldn't be an all-star this year. That's, you know, out of his mouth. And I thought that he probably should have been last year. I know that's like a debate that we could have with a million different people that are going to give us a million different takes. But I thought he should have been last year. And this year, it's just, I know it's preseason, man. I know, like, these games really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Just trying to get, you know, your feet wet, you know, get back into the groove and, you know, head into the regular season. But there just seems to be a different swag with Zach. A different confidence, a different, you know, being more comfortable. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people in the NBA this year. That kid's a walking bucket. And now that he's got a team around him that is kind of like built around, not just around, I don't want to say around him, making like it's all about him, but a team that is built better for his skill set, I think it's really just going to shine this year. I'm super excited about him.
I don't think you're going too far when you say that the team's built around him. I mean, Thad Young was his vet when he was a rookie in Minnesota. The point guard signing of Satoransky was very specific to Zach. We needed somebody who was good on and off ball with positional size that, you know, would allow Zach to have the ball all the time. Then you got Markkanen, who's a spacer. Kornet's a spacer. So when you have Lowry and Kornet out on the floor, you're really just spreading the floor for Zach to go to work.
Right.
I think you hit it on the head before you backtracked there that the offseason really was aimed around Zach. The draft of Kobe is aimed somewhat around Zach. I mean, the hole at the point guard spot was evident, but the Bulls not only drafted but signed two off-ball threats that can play the one or the two and have good off-ball skills because of Zach. So I think that's encouraging for Bulls fans, and it's encouraging for Zach because he sees that the people that are ultimately in charge of how far this team can go are giving him the pieces that are going to work for him and help this team achieve what they want.
Right. No, yeah, I agree with that. It's hard for me to fully commit to saying that because I don't obviously know if that's what they're trying to do. But I mean, it does look like that's what they're trying to do. They do seem to have that faith in Zach, and I'm just really hoping that everything starts clicking this year. I know we're kind of going off the rails on just talking about tonight's game, but tonight's game really, I mean, there's not much to talk about. You know, Bulls didn't do too much. I want to just, you know, talk to you about things that I saw. I cannot remember the website, man. I'm trying to find it on the fly here. But I can't find it where they had the Bulls and it was an over under 33.5 win projection. And I'm trying to find the site. I can't find it. But I found it. It's on Hoops Rumors. HoopsRumors.com. Has the
That sounds reliable.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. they have the Bulls over-under for the 2019-2020 season at 33.5 wins. What do you I think that projection's a little disrespectful. I know that they only, you know, won 22 games last year, but it was an injury-riddled season. What do you think about that? And the reason I bring it up to you is because a good buddy of mine that I know had posted about this, and I've heard of Hoops Rumors. I've been on the website and stuff like that. They're just doing their thing. Looks like this may be coming from Vegas, not just what the site has said itself. What do you think about 33.5 wins for the Bulls?
It's possible that it probably is coming out of Vegas. I don't think that their staff is doing an over-under. They're probably just relaying information. And if, you know, I wish I was a gambling man because I'd definitely take the over. I think that's an easy one. Unless we run into injuries like last year, I don't see how this team doesn't win at least 35 games.
Right.
I'd say that's the floor for this team, in my opinion.
Well, right. I mean, you even in one of the, you know, I think it was episode 4 or whatever, you were sitting at, what was that, 44 wins, and I said 45. I truly believe.
I might have been a little lubricated and a little excited about the season, but I don't think it's impossible to achieve that goal. I know they're going to be in the hunt for the playoffs at the end of the season.
Right. That's what I mean. And 33.5 wins ain't going to put you in the hunt, you know.
Nope, not even in the
right. East. So, I mean, I think that's kind of a disrespectful, disrespectful projection there, but it is what it is. Is there anything else you want to touch on, man, before we head on out on this episode?
No, I mean, not really. Coming off tonight's game, it's a little hard to be excited. We were watching a whole bunch of Streetwalkers, and, you know, we were actually playing the Pacers starters all the way into the fourth. Like, McMillan didn't pull back. He was like, all right, we're going to tune up this Bulls team that's never going to see the floor again. And it was kind of like, dude, like, is it really
worth it? I was wondering why he kept Miles Turner in, like, all game. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, damn, dude. I'm like, is
he? Oh, yeah, and you got Brogdon coming off an injury, so it was kind of like, what? You need a healthy team. You're already without your star. Why are you running your starters against these scrubs? Like, you can run against your own team in practice and get the same kind of. I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. But either way, Boylan has said that Sunday, and then I think there's another game Wednesday. I'm not positive. That's coming off the top of my head. I know there's a game Sunday, The starters are going to play. It's going to be more like a regular season rotation. So that should be exciting to watch, and hopefully we get a little bit more of that three quarters with New Orleans.
Yeah, so the next game, like you said, is Sunday against the Raptors, and then what did you say, Wednesday? Yeah, I think that might be the Bulls' last preseason game, dude.
That's it? That's all she wrote?
How many preseason games are there? I forget. No, they play on Thursday.
Thursday, okay, so I was
yeah,
a day
they play
off.
On we Thursday. I am
close
sorry.
Off with the Hawks at home.
Yeah, yep, they close it out against the Hawks at home. That's right.
I'm actually off this Thursday. The world is in my favor.
Yeah, that's perfect. That is perfect. Well, everybody, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Follow at Bulls on Tap on Twitter. Follow me at Buzz on Tap on Twitter and my dude at Bull Scripted on Twitter. And we will be back most likely Sunday.
It's a bye week.
It's a Bears bye week. So we will be here.
Bulls preseason,
which is a good thing. I'm very excited. You know, Bulls Raptors on Sunday, dude. It starts at 5 Central time, so we'll be able to watch the game. Decent time. Record the Bulls on Tap podcast and post it out for everybody to listen to it.
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Well. Everybody have a great weekend. We will be back Sunday night with another episode of Bulls on Tap. Later.